Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I want to preach on the subject that's found here in this text, and I will not read the whole psalm, but we will be looking at it tonight, on responding when the Lord delivers, or how to respond when the Lord delivers. As you study the psalms, you know that the preface oftentimes gives an indication of when the psalm was written, and the occasion of this psalm before us teaches us that we do not have to wonder who wrote the psalm or when or why it was written. It was written after a time of great fear in David's life when he was fleeing for his life. David, if you'll go back with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21, you'll find the account of this psalm, or where this psalm comes from in the time of David's life. David was fearing and fleeing from Saul, and he was also fearing and fleeing Achish, or Abimelech, as the preface says. And don't be confused by that, because the word Abimelech is just a word for a king. Matter of fact, as we study the scripture, you'll find that Abimelech is the title of the kings of the Philistines. Like Pharaoh is a title of the kings of Egypt, and Caesar is a title of the kings of Rome, so Abimelech is the title of a king, the kings of the Philistines. And it means father king. And so when you come to 1 Samuel 21, in verse 10, it says, "And David rose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath." He is the king that's mentioned in Psalm 31 as Abimelech. It was when he changed his behavior before him. But we don't have to wonder who wrote this psalm, nor why he wrote it. David was fearing and fleeing Saul. He had escaped his house by night, and he had met up with Jonathan in the field. And Jonathan told him that his daddy, Saul, was going to kill him. And so David flees. First of all, in chapter 21, he goes to Ahimelech. Ahimelech is the priest in Nob. He's one of the Lord's priests. And he goes there, and that's where David will find out lies to Ahimelech and tells him that he had some king's business to do. And that's where he gets the showbread and where he gets Goliath's sword. The Bible says in verse 10, and that's where we pick up at 1 Samuel 21:10, "And David arose," that is, he arose to flee from Saul in this particular instance, "and fled that day in fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And this Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before him and feigned himself mad in his hands and scrabbled on the door of the gate and let his spittle fall upon his beard. And when Achish, and then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, You see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" And David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. So David was fearing. He was in great fear of his life. He was fearing Saul, and he was also fearing, the Bible says there, he was sore afraid of Achish. And so this psalm comes out of that time. It is written as a memorial to the Lord's power in David's deliverance. David, of course, if you look at the psalm and you compare the words in the psalm, you'll find that the repeated refrain of this psalm is deliverance. And that's why we have retitled the psalm, "Responding When the Lord Delivers," or "How to Respond When the Lord Delivers." In Psalm 34 and verse 4, you'll notice it says, "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Verse 6 says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." And verse 19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And there are three things that David says that the Lord delivered him from. Verse 4, He delivered him from his fears. Secondly, verses 16 and 17, He delivered him from his troubles. And verse 19, He delivered him from his afflictions. Now what you'll note very carefully is that David did have fears, that David did have troubles, and that David did have afflictions. The Lord didn't keep him from them. He didn't keep him from fear. He did not keep him from trouble. And He did not keep him from affliction. But what you find is that the Lord delivered him out of them. The word "from" is used in the text, and the word "out of" is used in the text, and they have the same meaning. So, as David was fearful, the Lord comes along and He delivers him out of those fears. He takes the fears away from David. As David's in trouble, the Lord comes along and delivers him out of the trouble. When David's afflicted, the Lord comes along and delivers him out of his afflictions. And so these are the repeated areas of life where God's people need deliverance. We need deliverance from our fears. We need deliverance from our troubles. And we need deliverance from our afflictions, because we are accustomed to fear, we are accustomed to troubles, and we are accustomed to afflictions. And this psalm is written as a memorial to God in how that He is a God that delivers. And He delivers in these ways. Here David responds to the Lord's deliverance, and he confesses the praiseworthiness of the Lord. Secondly, he confesses to the enduring praise of the Lord at all times. And David was not content to let this blessing slip by, the blessing of God's deliverance, but he commits himself to the Lord after the deliverance to be committed to the Lord's praise, because he knew that it would be the Lord that it was the Lord that had delivered him, and he also knew that it would be the Lord that would deliver him in the future. And so you'll see this in the psalm. I don't want you to overlook this, because the fact is, as this comes out of deliverance, and we don't know exactly when the psalm was written. It may have been written later in David's life, or it may have been written when he got to the cave. Maybe while he was there with the people of God, his family and those others that had surrounded him, the 400 men that were in debt and in need. They were a bunch of needy folk. They come to David in the cave of Adullam, and there they make him their captain. And it's later on in that same cave that a priest that escapes from the hand of Doeg, which was one of Saul's servants, an Edomite, he had killed all of the priest's family. And I have to think about this, Ahimelech, because I get Ahimelech and Abimelech mixed up. But Ahimelech is the priest. And when he finds out that David has gone to the priest and got the showbread and got the sword of Goliath, He kills Ahimelech, or has him killed by Doeg, and all of the priests, and one escapes, Abiathar. He escapes to David, and there David says, "Don't fear." And so that leads me to believe that David, by this time, is not fearing anymore. He's trusting. He's turned it over to the Lord, and the Lord's going to give him direction. And from that comes this psalm. The Lord delivers me, has delivered me from all my fears. Now also think about this. Even though David had been delivered from his fears, he was still cautious. He was cautious around Saul. Later on you'll find, if you study this out and just read the next few chapters, all you got to do there in 1 Samuel to see how it all plays out. Because it's not going to be long after this that Saul is going to be killed. David won't kill him, but the enemies of Israel will kill him. And what you'll find out is David is not fearful. He can go right into where Saul is sleeping and cut his garment off. David is not fearful. He can go where Saul is, but he keeps his distance from Saul. And even when Saul cries out and says, "Oh, my son," you know, trying to suggest, you know, basically, he says, "The Lord's going to give you the kingdom. You're more righteous than I am." He still keeps his distance from Saul. The Bible says that he goes and hides out. I don't believe he does it in fear. I believe he does it in caution and trusting the Lord to handle things. But here we find David's response, and that's what we're going to look at. His response, how he acted and reacted to what the Lord had done in his life. And he confesses the praiseworthiness of the Lord, and he commits himself to the enduring praise of the Lord at all times. And that's how the psalm starts out. He says, "I will." That's a commitment. That's resolve. "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And every believer here tonight, if you're trusting God as your Savior, and He's delivered you from your sins, and He's delivered you from the mistakes that you've made, and He's delivered you from you ought to fill your mouth with the praise of the Lord and be ready and willing to claim what He has done for you and confess what He has done for you to others. It is a very sorry Christian who cannot praise God for His blessings upon their life. It is a deformed Christian whose tongue cannot speak the praise of the God of heaven. Here, this David, he confesses that he's going to be committed to the praise of the Lord. And then thirdly, David encourages others to be committed to the Lord's praise. David was not content with solitary praise. David was not content to keep it in his heart. David wanted to fill his mouth up with it and then let it out of his mouth. And he calls others to praise God with him. For he says in verse 3, "O magnify the Lord with me." Let's bring God into view. Magnify Him with me and let us exalt His name together. His deliverance. And I can just hear Him as He echoes out in that cave of Adullam to those folks that were gathered around Him. "We will be delivered by the Lord. He has delivered me and He will deliver me." And so let us exalt His name together. He wanted others to engage in God's praise. And this should be the desire of every child of God, that not only you praise God, but that you want others to be involved in the praise and the worship of the true and living God in the ways that God has demanded of us. And so with that tonight, I want to look at this, responding when the Lord delivers. How to respond when the Lord delivers. First of all, we should respond when the Lord delivers by acknowledging who delivered us. Now that sounds very elementary, but when you compare what happened in David's life, I want you to see this, because when we come to our text in light of what we read over in the book of 1 Samuel, you'll find, first of all, think about this with me, David had used crafty methods to escape from Saul and Abimelech. You compare that to what goes on in this text, and you'll find that David does not brag about his crafty methods. David brags about his Lord's methods. David does not brag about what he accomplished, but he brags about what God accomplished for him. And I say that because I want you to see that. Now let's go over to 1 Samuel and look at this for just a moment, because I think it's very important to see and grasp, you know, how this song is written. A lot of songs in the Bible, the inspired hymns of the Psalms are written out of things that go on in the life of the people of God. Here David has come out of a time of great fear, great anguish of soul. He's troubled. He's being afflicted. He's being lied on, cheated on. He's like a lot of Christians are. I mean, a lot of things that go on in the life of believers. David is this way. And in spite of all that, he does not murmur. He does not complain. He does not blame the Lord for anything in his life. That's going. I mean, the Lord is the one that chose David for to be king. And by choosing him to be king and by disengaging Saul as king, it brought the wrath of Saul on David. But he doesn't complain about that. He just turns to the Lord and trusts Him in it. But in the midst of all this time, David's not going to do everything right. You know, believers don't always do things right. And David doesn't. You know, I've looked at this text in different ways. And I said, well, look what David did. And the Lord blessed him even in this. But just because you do things, just because the Lord blesses certain things in your life doesn't mean you did them right. That should humble us. You know, a lot of people think, they look at others and they say, well, they made a lot of mistakes and that they're getting what they deserve. They made their bed, they have to lay in it. But how many times have you made your bed but didn't have to lay in it? You know, just think about that for a moment. How many decisions have you made that were wrong but the Lord blessed you anyway? You need to think about that before you set in judgment about all the other people around you. It'll help you. It'll help you not be self-righteous and it'll bring you back to reality. David had made some mistakes. David doesn't brag about them. I want you to see this with me, if you will. David used crafty methods to escape from Saul and Abimelech. In 21, David, when he was fleeing from Saul, David lied to Ahimelech, the priest of Nob. Notice it says in verse 2, and David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king hath commanded me, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. That was just a flat out lie. Saul had never told David to go do this or that. As a matter of fact, when comes, Ahimelech is afraid. He's afraid of David. For whatever reason, he's afraid. And so he says, well, what's up with this? Why are you here? Why haven't you brought anybody with you? And so David lies. And he said, well, you know, I've got the king's business. And the king gets this very secret operation. You know, we got to keep this all under wraps. And then he pursues it on. It says in verse 8, and David said to Ahimelech, is there not here under thy hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business requireth haste. I had to leave so fast that I wasn't even able to gather up my sword for the king's business. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And so he fed David and he gave David a sword. Now this lie that David told to Ahimelech would cost Ahimelech his life. And it would not only cost Ahimelech his life, but it would cost all of Ahimelech's family their lives. Notice this. Whenever we come to 1 Samuel 22, the next chapter in verse 20, some things go through the process of time here. So, David leaves Ahimelech. He goes to Achish. He leaves Achish. He goes to the cave. He takes his family over to Moab and leaves them there. And now he's back in the cave. And then he goes and flees to the wilderness because the prophet said, you got to get out of here. Saul's on his way. And then Saul finds out that Ahimelech helped David. Ahimelech said, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about what was going on. And it didn't matter to Saul. And so Saul kills Ahimelech and kills all of the priests, every man, every woman, every child, and everything that they had. You can read that in that chapter. There's one man that escapes, and that's Abiathar. In verse 20 it says, and one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul. And notice what David says, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. That lie that David told. Now it was Saul who killed them, and Saul is responsible for what he did. It was Doeg that killed him, and Doeg was responsible for what he did. But David in his fear lied. He lied to the priest. And because of that lie, it ultimately cost the priest and his family their lives. But not only that, we're talking about David being crafty. David acted like a madman to escape Achish, Abimelech, the king of Gath. And first of all, notice this back in 21. Now let's get this, I want you to paint this picture for you. In 21:10, and David arose, that is, he arose from Ahimelech, and David arose and fled that day in fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, first of all, David goes to the wrong place. You know where Gath is? Gath is the city of Goliath. Gath is the city of the Philistines. And he goes to the king of the Philistines. What in the world is David thinking? Is he thinking, well, you know what? I'll find safety over in the with the kings of the Philistines, the king of the Philistines. I'll go back to Goliath's hometown and they'll receive me. Are you out of your mind, David? It doesn't happen. Matter of fact, there were people there that recognized who David was. I don't know if he tried to go there in disguise or what, but someone said, isn't this the king of Israel? King of Israel, but he was. Saul was still king of Israel. Don't they make songs up about this guy? He killed Saul killed his thousands, David killed his 10,000s, and guess who they were? They were Philistines. Are you out of your mind, David? Sometimes people of God make stupid mistakes. Sometimes they make bad steps. He'd gone to the wrong king. David should have gone to the Lord God of hosts. He should have gone to the God of his fathers, the God of Israel. But instead, David goes to Achish. And you know what he has to do when he goes over there? Well, he has to be crafty. And so he plays the madman. He foams at the mouth. He bangs on the door. And the king said, get this crazy man out of here. Do I need crazy? I got no crazy people around me, in other words. Get him out of here. I don't need any more of them. And he slips away. The text says, and David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. I said that to say this, that David used crafty message to escape from Saul and Abimelech. But through all his mishaps, his mistakes, his missteps, he does not brag about his wit or his craftiness as a means of deliverance. When we come to Psalm 34, you know who he brags on? He brags on the Lord. You see, God was merciful to David even in his wrong. Now, this is no reason to do wrong. Some of my children might think, well, you do wrong, good things will still happen to you. Not always. You can't be presumptuous on the Lord's mercies. But sometimes God is merciful even when we do things wrong. David acknowledges the Lord as his deliverer. When we come to Psalm 34, there is nothing about David's wit. There's nothing about David's skill in getting away from Saul. There's nothing of him bragging about his wounds, you know, that he received in his battles. He brings it all back to the Lord. Not once does David take credit for his deliverance, either by wrong or right. And when you come to, keep your hand there in Psalm 34, we're going right back over there to 1 Samuel, just to see this one more time. He comes to Adullam. and gets in that cave, and when all of his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And in the account, here's a silence in the Bible. David doesn't say, "Well, I pulled the wool over Abimelech's eyes." He didn't say, "I pulled the wool over Ahimelech's eyes. Boy, I acted like a madman and got out of there. Boy, I'm so witty." He doesn't say that. What he says is Psalm 34. He says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." In this psalm, David brags on the one who was his true deliverer. You see, David does confess some things in this psalm. And that's where we get to the point of this psalm, at least this first point, and that is he acknowledged who delivered him, and we must acknowledge who delivers us. David confesses in this psalm his failings. That's what he does. He confesses his fear. For he says, "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." You know, beloved believers have fears. And David had a lot of them. He says, "All my fears." The fear of the unknown. The fear of what's going to happen next. The fear if I'm going to live or die. The fear if my mother and father are going to live. He's fearing that too, because he's going to hide them out. The fear of what Saul will do to me. He's fearing all these things. He confesses the frailty of his poverty in verse 6. "This poor man cried." David was a broken man when he goes to Adullam. You know, everybody who goes to the cave Adullam goes there as a broken man. It's interesting that Adullam has reference to the resurrection. It's a place of death. That's what the word Adullam means. And so he comes out of Adullam, out of the place of death. He goes into the place of death, a poor man, and comes out without fear. It is through the resurrection of our Lord that we come this way. We go in there poor and broken and helpless, and we come out rejoicing and trusting. He confesses his troubles. He confesses his afflictions. He was an afflicted, troubled man. But he gives God all the glory in the work of deliverance. And that's what I want you to see in contrast. David is weak. David is poor. David is helpless. And God is a deliverer. And though God may have used a little bit of David's wit and even the lie to save his life, David doesn't say there's any good in that. The good is in the Lord. Notice all through the psalm, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Verse 6, "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And so the psalm goes all through the psalm. The Lord did this. The Lord did this. If you fear the Lord, He'll bless you. If you trust Him, He'll bless you. And so he was committed to boast of the Lord in verse 2. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." And so should yours. When's the last time you bragged about the Lord? We brag about our accomplishments. We brag about what we've done this week, or you know how we've accomplished something in our life. But when's the last time we bragged on the Lord? David was committed to bragging on the Lord. He sought to bring the Lord into view, verse 3, for he says, "Let us magnify the Lord together." And so we should respond when the Lord delivers by acknowledging who delivered us. And if you're not accustomed to doing that, then something is wrong with your heart tonight. Secondly, we should respond when the Lord delivers by being committed to the Lord's praise for His deliverance. Not only should we acknowledge that He's the deliverer and that He delivers us, but we should be committed, resolved to praise the Lord for His deliverance. Notice in verse 1, he commits himself to praise the Lord in all circumstances. When we have the circumstances of life that come our way, sometimes they're not what we want, not what we like, not the way we like to feel. But David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. He committed himself to fill his mouth with praise. Verse 1, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. He had no room for slander, no room for gossip, no room for complaining, no room for murmuring. He didn't have room for bickering. He had room for praise. And if you'll fill your mouth to the Lord, you won't have room for anything else. David didn't have room for... That is, he was committed not to have room for anything else but praise. He committed himself to brag on the Lord, as I already said. When's the last time you bragged on Him? How often do you brag on Him? He committed himself to magnify the Lord, that is, to bring Him into view. When's the last time you brought the Lord into view in your life? To put the microscope on Him. You know, a lot of times we put the microscope on our problems. The microscope on our circumstances. The microscope on what we don't have, or the microscope on what we want, or the place we want to live, or we want to go here or there. We put the microscope on things. But he says, let us magnify the Lord. We need to be resolved, to be committed, to be dedicated to the Lord's praise. And then thirdly, we should respond when the Lord delivers by seeking to educate others about the Lord's deliverance. David wanted others to know and experience Jehovah as he had. David was not content to keep the Lord a secret. He called others to magnify the Lord with him. In verse 3, in verse 8, he says it this way, O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. If you want curses in your life, don't trust the Lord. If you want curses in your life, you do things your own way. But if you want to be blessed, both now and eternally, you must trust Him and learn to trust Him more. And taste and see, He is good. And he wanted others taught by Him. In verse 11 it says, Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Half of this psalm is instruction on the ins and outs of hows and whys and ways of God's deliverance. Verse 11 starts that and goes through the rest of the psalm. It's instruction. Come. Come ye children. Now when he's talking to children here in this passage, I don't think he's just talking to the little youngins around him. I can see those grown men, that 400 mighty men that were with him, that were in debt. They were a bunch of motley crew folk that were there in the cave with him. And I can hear him call out to them and say, children, listen to what I have to say. The Lord is good. And I'm going to teach you about what it is to fear the Lord. He tells them, basically, do you want a good life? You want a long life? You want deliverance in this life? In verses 11 through 14, he says, then don't pursue a course of sin. The reason that you have heartache and I have heartache is because of sin. If tonight you have a burden in your heart, or if you're angry, or if you're upset, or whatever it may be, it is because of sin. either sin that you've committed or sin that someone's committed against you, or a combination of the two. But in the context, David says, don't pursue it. What man is he that desireth a life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Want that? Then keep your tongue from evil. Don't talk about everybody. Don't bring everybody down with your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue on a good life. Then you gotta have a good life. And then he goes on from there and says, and if you get in trouble, humble yourself. Because you know how it is with men. We get into trouble, don't we? Trouble comes our way, and sometimes we bring trouble upon ourselves. And so he says this in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and he heareth, his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them to do evil, that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Somewhere along the way, David got back to his senses and cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him. He delivered him from Saul. He delivered him from Achish. And he delivered him all the way to the grave. Over and over again, God delivered him. And there was a connection to it. He cried to the Lord. He humbled himself. He was broken. See, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You know, the Lord doesn't deliver the proud. They have to humble themselves. If you never humble yourself, don't expect deliverance. But if you do, the Lord will deliver. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, the unrighteous have afflictions too. You know what the difference is? The difference between the righteous and the unrighteous? The Lord doesn't deliver them. The Bible says here, let me close with this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The believer has something that the world knows nothing of. They have no lasting deliverance. Our God is a delivering God. He delivers us from our sin and from ourself. He delivers us from our trials, our temptations. He delivers us, as the text says, from our fears. He delivers us from our troubles. And He delivers us from our afflictions. I would encourage you to look to Him and trust Him. And if you stumble along the way, as David did, you don't have to play the madman to be delivered. Call upon the Lord, who is ready and willing and able to deliver. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. And as the Lord delivers you and has delivered you, may you make it your practice to engage in praise and to seek the praise of others in relationship to the Lord. For His name is worthy of all praise and adoration. Thank you for your attention to God's Word tonight.